Hello, and welcome to the third episode of Narnia News in a Nutshell. I'm your host, Rillian, from NarniaWeb.com with the latest Narnia film news. This episode was delayed a while since I've been in the Rocky Mountains for most of this month with no cell phone access and a 28K network, so even if I did record it out there, I couldn't have uploaded it. But the skiing conditions were excellent. We got over 400 inches of snow the whole ski season where I was at, and about probably 2 feet or so while I was there, so we had a great time. So, without further ado, let's get started. Well, Narnia has pretty much completed its run at the box office and has done pretty well for itself by topping Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire with $289 million and ranking itself number 24 in all-time U.S. domestic grosses. The current worldwide status of the film is approximately $415 million with a total of $704 million, ranking it as number 2 in the list of top-grossing films for 2005, right behind Star Wars Episode III: The Revenge of the Sith. The Japanese release of the film pushed it up to number 1 in the international box office with an opening weekend of $9.2 million, and as of 19th, the film had grossed $28 million in Japan, along with $2.3 million from the Chinese debut. But, of course, the big news people were waiting for early this March was the Oscars. Similarly to how it did at the BAFTAs, The Chronicles of Narnia: The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was nominated for Best Visual Effects, Best Sound Mixing, and Best Makeup. The results? As many would have guessed, Howard Berger and Tammy Lane received the award for Best Achievement in Makeup, which is more than I can say for Will Ferrell and Steve Carell. Let's go to this sound clip of Howard Berger's acceptance speech for the Academy Award.
I'm just glad that Clooney doesn't do makeup, so I'm worked out well. Well, this is really an amazing life, and it all started when I was a little boy and my mother read me Where the Wild Things Are by Marie Sendak, and at that point I knew I wanted to go live with the monsters. Real quick, I want to thank Disney, Mark Johnson, Walden Media, Cary Grant, Perry Moore, my partners in crime at K&B Effects Group, Robert Kurtzman and Greg Nicotero, everyone that was there with me through the journey, a year and a half of this magnificent project, my Aslan, Andrew Adamson, my inspiration, Kelsey Travis and Jake, my best friend Sandy, Rick Baker, Dick Smith, Stan Winston, Richard Taylor, Danny Strepak, and I want to dedicate this to my parents, Kenneth and Susan Berger. Right now I know they're looking down upon me and saying, we're proud of you that you are living with the monsters and running through the forest with the wild things. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, Howard and Tammy, I'm sure that everyone in the Narnian community congratulates you both for a job well done and an Oscar well earned. But there's more words than just the Oscars, right? Also, from BeliefNet.com, Narnia has won the BeliefNet Film Award for Best Spiritual Film. Head on over there for discussions of Lewis and his Chronicles, along with some Narnia quizzes. And from MovieGuide.org, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was recognized at the 14th Annual Movie Guide Faith and Values Awards by being dubbed the most inspiring movie of 2005 and the best family movie of 2005. And now that we're done talking about the awards, let's go ahead and listen to the word on the street. First up, a little local news about this podcast. Tyrion from NarniaWeb.com has posted a blog in the Word on the Street section of the website with a link to us saying that this podcast is, quote, excellent, unquote. So I would like to thank Tyrion for listening to this, and hopefully we'll get some more input about this. In fact, I was so happy about this extra recognition that I went ahead and created a new logo for the podcast. So that's the reason for the occasion. Next on the list of news is from the LA Times, who report that billionaire Philip Anschutz announced Tuesday that he was retiring from the boards of three companies in which he is the largest shareholder, Union Pacific Corp, Regal Entertainment Group, and Quest Communications International Incorporated. Anschutz is planning to devote more time and attention to his privately held investments, one of which is Walden Media, the studio behind The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Next up, Georgie Henley has been keeping busy with her acting and has landed yet another role, this time in the upcoming BBC production of Jane Eyre in the role of young Jane. and from CSLewisToday.com, they report that there will be a C.S. Lewis conference in Sydney, Australia, on Saturday, the 6th of May. Douglas Gresham, co-producer of The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, local members of the crew, film and TV industry, and writers are taking part in the first-ever Australian National C.S. Lewis Conference in Sydney. And for our friends in the United Kingdom, Blockbuster is offering a free copy of last year's most popular movies, King Kong, The Chronicles of Narnia, and Harry Potter, with every purchase of a Blockbuster 10 rental voucher book. The promotion will be running until May 1st. And here's an interesting story. IHT.com reports that there is an increasing number of Indian visual effects artists in the film industry, but that the Narnia film is a milestone in terms of being the first Hollywood movie with a substantial Indian contribution to be nominated for an Academy Award. And here's some interesting news that some of you might want to know about. Kieran Shaw joins the Gathering of the Fellowship guest list. Now, what does that mean? It means that Narnia fans can meet noted actor and stuntman Kieran Shaw, who played the dwarf Ginnerbrick in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, at the Gathering of the Fellowship, taking place at the Sheraton Center in Toronto, July 1st through the 4th, and celebrating all things Tolkien and C.S. Lewis. In addition to Narnia, Kieran appeared in The Lord of the Rings and a long list of classic sci-fi, fantasy, and adventure films, including Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, The Return of the Jedi, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, The Dark Crystal, Titanic, and Braveheart. Kieran will join Craig Parker, Bruce Hopkins, and John Howe in a discussion of the Lord of the Rings film trilogy and Narnia, moderated by co-writer and on-screen interviewer Cliff Brodroy of Ringers, The Lord of the Fans, which will be screened at the event. For more information, go to gatheringofthefellowship.com. And by the way, just a reminder, the Narnia DVD is now available for pre-order and should be available April 4th. Pictures are available at narniaweb.com. There will be a standard version available in widescreen and full screen, as well as a collector's edition, which I have already pre-ordered. I keep hoping the Amazon.com people will mess up and send it early. So far, no luck, but I'm keeping my fingers crossed. So go ahead and pre-order through Narnia Web's link to support them. They also have a link on their site to a review that IGN.com did of the DVD. They said that they didn't really like the movie that much, but they thought that the transfer of sound and video was excellent and top-notch quality, and that the extra features, including the kids' commentary and the director's commentary and the bloopers and all of that stuff that we were looking forward to, is really pretty good, and is, in their opinion, a bit more fun than the movie, so I think we have a lot to look forward to. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention that on March 28th, there will be a DVD released called Beyond Narnia, which discusses the life of C.S. Lewis. Narnia Webber Dr. Elwyn Ransom reviewed it and gave it a pretty positive review, which you can read at narniaweb.com. Also, their current contest is to win a copy of Beyond Narnia, which I've signed up on, so go ahead and head on to narniaweb.com. Who knows, you might get lucky. And now, the part of the podcast where we look towards the future, only the beginning of the adventure. Unfortunately, we don't really have much news on Prince Caspian. However, we do have an interesting article from Entertainment Weekly, who interviewed producer Mark Johnson about Prince Caspian. He told them, and I quote, "We are frantically trying to get Caspian ready for next year, for the end of 2007. He continued, "The problem with the Chronicles, both its strength and its problem, is that each book is so different from the other, and with the exception of Aslan, there's no character who repeats in all of them." And from SHNS.com, "Narnia is looking like a lifetime commitment. The Reverend Bob Belts, director of special media projects for the Walden media entrepreneur Philip Anschutz, had a vision of what his Hollywood colleagues might be doing someday just before his funeral. A quote from him reads, "They could end up holding the first screening of The Last Battle just before my funeral service. That's how long it's going to take us to do the whole series." According to him, it may very well take 12 more years to make the remaining Narnia films in a best-case scenario. But that's pretty much the only news we have on Prince Caspian for now, and that concludes this episode. If you'd like to give me any input or suggestions, go ahead and email me at narniawebrillian@mac.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Rillian. Thanks for listening.